Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, with a very sore throat, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 10th day of June 2022. I had such a blast visiting St. John's Reformed Church in Friedensburg, Pennsylvania, for a conference recently. On the conference featuring Matt Truhella on the doctrine of the lesser magistrates, a proper resistance to tyranny and a repudiation of unlimited obedience to civil government. And it was not only great to see Matt in person for the first time, and also to meet the pastor of that church where that conference was being held, who I've also had on the program, Matt Kennitzer, senior pastor of St. John's Reformed Church of Friedensburg, Pennsylvania. It was great to see them, and also quite a number of folks who approached me to let me know how much they love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Well, I was so blessed and informed and fascinated by the discussion by Matt Truhella that I wanted to have him back on the program today to discuss Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court, and the Constitution, misconceptions, myths, and lies that unnecessarily paralyze advocates for the unborn. And my guest today to discuss that, Matt Truhella, is pastor of Mercy Seat Christian Church in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin area. He's founder of the pro-life organization Missionaries to the Preborn. He's the author of the aforementioned The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates, and he is a frequent lecturer on righteous resistance and the lesser magistrate doctrine. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Matt Truhella.
Yeah, it's excellent to be here with you, Chris. Thank you for the opportunity. God bless you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And for those of our audience who did not hear your previous interview on this program, tell us about Mercy Seat Christian Church.
Yeah, Mercy Seat Christian Church. I've been pastoring there for 34 years now. It's a congregation of about 300 people. The Lord has used the congregation mightily in the lives of many people, and also in the public square to point men to Christ, to give them the understanding of the importance of his word, his law, his gospel. And I've been blessed to be the pastor there this long. We have so many older people. We have so many very young people, large families, smaller family. It's a great congregation that does a lot of ministry in so many different ways.
Well, if anybody wants more information about a Mercy Seat in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin area, go to mercyseat.net, mercyseat.net. And why don't you also give a summary, since this seems to be the very thing that most people, especially more recently, have come to discover you and your ministry. Give us a summary explanation of your book, The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates, a proper resistance to tyranny and a repudiation of unlimited obedience to civil government. And by the way, folks, if you are free to listen to this, the podcast or the archived recording of our previous interview with Matt Truhella on the subject, just go to ironsharpensironradio.com, and where it says past shows podcast or our podcast past shows, I sometimes forget the order in which that's written. If you type in the search engine Truhella, T-R-E-W-H-E-L-L-A, you will find that interview on this book. But if you could, Matt, give us a summary explanation of the doctrine of the lesser magistrates.
Sure. The doctrine is simply that when the higher-ranking civil authority makes unjust or immoral law, policy, or court opinion, the God-given right and duty of the lesser civil authorities is interposition. They are to interpose, they are not to obey, and if necessary, they are to actively resist the superior civil authority. So a quote that I use that kind of sums it up and helps us sink it in people's minds is from Emperor Trajan. He was giving a sword to one of his subordinates. He said, "Use this sword against my enemies if I give righteous commands, but if I give unrighteous commands, use it against me." And that's the doctrine in a nutshell. John Knox wrote the foremost treatise on the doctrine in his 1558 appellation to the nobles of Scotland. The nobles of Scotland were the lesser magistrates of their day. Knox cites over 70 passages of scripture in that treatise on the doctrine. And this doctrine, you know, this Christian thought, is needed and necessary in our day. And it's really taking the political world by storm right now as people are realizing, yeah, when evil is being promulgated by civil magistrates, it's the duty of the lesser authorities to interpose in order to stop the evil. And understand, Chris, their interposition is massively important on two counts. One is when you look at Ezekiel 22, which talks about how family government was a mess, church government was a mess, civil government was a mess. And God says, "I looked for someone to build a wall and stand in the gap." And he said, "But I could not find one." And therefore he says, "I'm bringing my judgment upon the land." So the interposition of the lesser authorities when there's evil in the land can actually abate the just judgment of God. That's an important point. Secondly, the importance their interposition plays in order to mitigate evil within society is huge, because the superior tyrant authorities always count on the blithe compliance of the lesser authorities in order to get their evil down in the fabric of society. And when they no longer have that blithe compliance from them, that's when they know it. Serious problem on their hands. So it's a goodness for the people to join with their magistrates, because because they already possess lawful authority. So the people have a duty to prod their magistrates to interpose when evil's being done. And they also have the duty to assure their lesser authorities that if they do their duty in the sight of Christ and interpose, that they'll stand with them four square, both with their person, with their property, with their prayers, both publicly and privately. So that's the doctrine in a short thumbnail sketch.
And how do our listeners get a hold of this book?
Yeah, you can go to our website. We have a website, defytyrants.com. If you order there, we send you a few extra items for nothing along with the book. Or of course you can go to Amazon if you prefer that and, get it there. The book has sold nearly 100,000 copies now. It's really, incredible how the Lord has used this book, both in the hearts and minds of Christian men and even those who don't truly know Christ, but see the goodness of the teaching from God's word, for society regarding these matters of civil government. And it's right now, Chris, over the last several months, I've just seen a massive growing amongst military personnel getting interested in this doctrine. General Mike Flynn has been pushing the book for about 10 months now, telling everybody everywhere he goes to read it. I just talked to a retiring lieutenant colonel from the Air Force last week, named Pete Chambers. They were attempting to force him out of the military, get him to retire early, because he was standing against these vaccine mandates for military personnel. He refused to do it. He put up with all their brutality against him, and he finally resigned on his terms at 30 years last week. And he has been, just in the last 3 months, telling everyone about the doctrine and encouraging everyone to read the book, which, if you know anything about the history of the military, they have a long history, the military does, of intervening, interposing, when the civil government becomes absolutely lawless. And so I'm encouraged by the fact that military personnel are learning about this doctrine and talking about it, because I believe that our civil government has been trying to destroy our military for a long time now. The don't ask, don't tell thing, back with Obama, totally meant to, it's something a foreign enemy would do to weaken the military morally. And now this whole matter with the forced vaccinations, they want to get the best of men out of the military while it seems like they're building their own little private army, which I believe they hope one day to use to oppress the people in their evil endeavors. So it's good to see good men involved in the military who understand the importance of this doctrine and are teaching other good men the importance of interposition.
Great. Well, before we go to our discussion, I also want to make sure that you give a description of a very important ministry that is under the umbrella of Mercy Seat Christian Church, Missionaries to the Preborn. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Missionaries to the Preborn began in 1990, and it's a mission to the preborn. I was a missions major, Chris, at Bible College, and I had planned on going with Wycliffe Bible Translators. The people group I ended up wanting to go to, I would have had to put my children in a school separated from us 10 months out of the year. Me and my wife did not agree with that at all. You know, so we have our plans. God has his. In the end, I end up, of all places on the planet, Wisconsin. Like, nobody plans to go to Wisconsin, you know? So it's like you end up in Wisconsin. And this is where the Lord brought us, is Wisconsin. And so when I first began to realize what the horror of abortion is, and that we needed to do something about it, I picked up a book off the shelf that I had called Missions USA, which was by a guy named Earl Parvin, and he taught at Moody down in Chicago, just south of us. And in there, he cites over 400 Christian missions operating in America, and not one of them had targeted the preborn child as their people group. And that astounded me, because Christianity has always affirmed the humanity of the preborn child, always affirmed that it's murder. You kill them. And yet, with this great slaughter, we don't have one Christian mission in America which has made their preborn neighbor the people group they're targeting. And so we formed Missionaries to the Preborn, and there were 17 missionaries that began after I had traveled around talking to people about the vision of the mission, which was to interpose at the abortion clinic doors in order to defend the preborn from being killed. So this had a huge impact upon the murder industry in our state. We felt led of God to actually target the highest volume killing center in the state, which was called Bread and Roses on the north side of Milwaukee. And 1 year after we began our missionary efforts, they were out of business, and we were all still alive.
Praise God.
And Yeah, amen. And we've seen him do such a great work. Since we began, there were 8 abortion clinics in our city. Only 2 remain. And abortion, get this, has dropped by 69%.
Hallelujah.
In our state. Yeah. During that same time, the national average for the drop was about 17%. So we saw God just do a great work just because of being faithful to him and showing love to our neighbor. So that's what Missionaries of the Preborn is, still exists today. We do ministry at the death camps themselves and offer help to the moms, declare the truth of God's word, reprove, you know, the abortionists. And at the same time, we go to universities, high schools, busy intersections. We employ large photographs of preborn babies developing the womb, those murdered by abortion. We have literature which exposes the horror of abortion, points out the violation of God's law, and points men to Jesus Christ. And we've seen God use that in such a profound and great way in many people's lives. So that's what Missionaries of the Preborn is.
And the website for that excellent ministry is missionariestothepreborn.com, missionariestothepreborn.com. And we have to insert in here a description of a very important document that you have gone through the time and expense to make available in English. This was a fascinating document that you were explaining at the recent conference I attended at St. John's Reformed Church in Friedensburg, Pennsylvania. This is a document, and I'll spell it for our listeners, because it's not something that is very commonly heard about, although it should be, and I hope that this reprinting of this book will make this a lot more well-known. The Magdeburg Confession, and that's spelled M as in Michael, A, G as in George, D as in David, E, B, U, R, G. And that is the Magdeburg Confession. Tell us about this remarkable document.
Sure. By the way, I just wanted to say you had mentioned Matt Kennitzer earlier, who's the pastor there at St. John's.
Yes.
And I was there for his sermon this past Sunday, June 5th. He's been preaching through the Gospel of John. And the sermon he did was excellent. And I would encourage people to take the time to read it. I know they're at sermonaudio.com. If they put in his name, Matt Kennitzer, they can find it. Or if they put in, you know, St. John's Reformed Church, they should be able to find it. He did a phenomenal job at defining what love is and also taking to task the bogus form of love that this culture has created, the redefinition of what love is, and which the church has overwhelmingly embraced and aided and abetted this false definition of love. Once you divorce the ethic of love from God's law and from his word, you can actually use the ethic of love to justify anything, including 2 men or 2 women marrying. And anyways.
Well, I've got to get Pastor Kennitzer on the show to discuss that very topic.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It's tremendous. But yeah, getting to the Magdeburg Confession, the Magdeburg Confession was written in 1550 AD. In 1546, when Luther died, Charles V decided to make his, he was the Holy Roman Emperor, he decided to make his move then to crush the Reformation. And God in his providence had kept him from doing so before then, because numerous times he had to go fight battles against the Muslims. And he also had trouble with another European foreign nation also that he had to fight a battle. So he was never able in order to crush the Reformation in its infancy. So now it's 1546. Luther's died. He's going to take the opportunity to attempt to do that. And he issued what was known as the Augsburg Interim. And the Augsburg Interim was a document from the emperor which brought all of the Protestant lands back under Roman Catholic rule, faith, and practice. And there were those who resisted in the Protestant land. Some were even killed. Others fled the area. But most overwhelmingly so went along with it. Even Peter Melanchthon, who was Luther's heir apparent, went along with the interim. But there was this one city that didn't. It was called Magdeburg, Germany. They were the lone city to stand in interposition against Charles V and his Augsburg interim. Now, the lead pastor in that city was a man named Nicholas von Amsdorff. And Nicholas von Amsdorff, Martin Luther, Peter Melanchthon were all like the best of friends. Nicholas von Amsdorff was with Luther at Wittenberg. Nicholas von Amsdorff went with Martin Luther to Worms in 1521, when Luther had to make a defense of his teachings. He was with Luther when Frederick the Wise feigned his kidnapping and hid Luther in the Wartburg Castle in Eisenach, Germany. And so Luther thought so highly of Nicholas von Amsdorff, by the way, that in 1524, Magdeburg became the first city to embrace the Reformation. Luther said, "We took the city without firing a shot, just by being faithful to the word and gospel." And so these magistrates were sitting under the teaching of Nicholas von Amsdorff for 20 plus years, these magistrates in Magdeburg. So when Charles V made his move in order to re-Romanize all the Protestant lands, they knew exactly what their duty was, and that was interposition, the interposition of the magistrates. And so they stood in defiance of the Augsburg interim, and the churchmen there, there were nine churches, all of them, all of the ministers, signed the Magdeburg Confession. The first one to sign it was Nicholas von Amsdorff. The churchmen put together what we now refer to as the Magdeburg Confession, where they showed from scripture and history that their magistrates were right to defy the emperor. They wanted all the world to know that, and so they wrote the confession for that purpose. And the confession had never been translated into English, Chris. So as I was preparing my work on the doctrine of the lesser magistrate, I kept reading scholars, historians who would say that the Magdeburg Confession was the first time that the lesser magistrate doctrine was formalized by churchmen, by Christian men. Well, I knew it was written in Latin. All important theological works were then. I knew it was translated into the German and sent out throughout the Holy Roman Empire. Well, I don't read Latin, and I don't read German, so I spent literally 8 months talking to librarians, historians, scholars across America and Europe, trying to track down the English translation. Had several along the way say, you know, I don't believe it's ever been translated into English. And finally, a guy named Christian Himsel, who works with Concordia University, and his expertise is rare works, he told me, he contacted me, and he said, "Matt, I heard you're looking for the Magdeburg Confession, and there has to be an English translation. I can't believe that there wouldn't be." Well, he called me back a month later, and he's like, "Nope. I can't believe it. There never has been one." And so we secured a 1550 original in Latin from the Bavarian State Library in Munich, Germany. Once we secured the document, I hired a guy with a PhD, Christian Brother. He has a PhD in Latin and Greek from Cornell University. Impeccable credentials. His name's Matthew Colvin. He called me up 2 weeks into the translation process, and he says, "How is it possible that this document has never been translated into English?"
Wow.
I'm like, "Wait, how is it possible?" So he was loving it. He just took it as a hired gun. He's like, "This is a massively important document to Western civilization and how we pillared our government institutions." I go, "Right, it is." We put together, I had George Grant write a introduction to the Magdeburg Confession.
Great, because I love George Grant.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was honored to do that. And I wrote a historical prelude and a historical postscript to it so that people would understand the context of the writing of this document, because it's powerful historically, both previous to it being written and the impact that it had subsequent to being written. And then also we put in, me and Matthew Colvin put in many footnotes explaining certain things, because if you don't know what they were referring to in the confession, you don't get the punch. And so we explain these different things and different terms that they use. And now this work has sold about 14,000 copies, and people are able for the first time to read in English the Magdeburg Confession. And it's been selling not only here, but in Europe and in South America, most prevalently. So it's encouraging to be a part of a work like that and see that the Christian writings of good brothers years earlier, you know, can impact people in our day for good, because human nature doesn't change. So you're always going to have tyrants. And the reformers thought well about these things and wrote extensively about the limits, functions, roles, duties of civil authority, and the matter of when tyranny or tyrants raise their ugly head, what is the proper biblical response to that. So these were actually Lutheran churchmen, they were known as evangelicals at the time, who wrote the Magdeburg Confession. It was picked up by the reformers, like John Knox, first and foremost, who furthered the doctrine. And then his protege from England, Christopher Goodman, fantastic work on the doctrine. Mornay wrote, of course, about it. Theodore Beza, you know, Calvin's heir apparent, on the right of magistrates. He wrote about the doctrine of the lesser magistrate. In fact, when he first published on the right of magistrates, he had to do so anonymously because of the political situation at the time. And so when it was first published, he actually attributed the authors as ministers of Magdeburg, Germany. So they were all grateful for this document called the Magdeburg Confession, which was the basis of understanding the doctrine, which they all built upon and furthered and strengthened. Just important stuff. And you can follow it up all the way about the confession and the thinking and writing of men all the way up to the founding of our nation here in America.
Fascinating. Well, if you want more information on this very important document, go to MagdeburgConfession.com, and that's spelled again, MagdeburgConfession.com. And you can also, I believe, get it at the much easier to remember website, defytyrants.com. Am I correct? You could get it there as well?
Yes, absolutely. And if I could just add one thing about the
sure.
too, Chris, you have time for that?
Yes.
Yeah. Here's an interesting historical side note to all that went on there and how the Lord uses and his providence. When Luther was done being tried at Worms in 1521, when they were done trying him, the Catholic hierarchy came to Charles V and they said, "Don't let him leave, kill him now." And Charles V responded by saying, "I will not blush like Sigismund." So here's the situation. Charles V had brought Martin Luther to Worms to defend his views under safe conduct of the emperor. What that means is the emperor cannot touch you, he cannot molest you, he cannot kill you. You are safe. And there's a certain date given to which you have his assurance that he won't touch you. Well, there was still 2 weeks left of this safety from the emperor when the trial for Martin Luther ended in Worms, Germany. But regardless of that, the Catholic hierarchy immediately comes to Charles V and says, "Don't let him leave, kill him now." And Charles V responds and he says, "I will not blush like Sigismund." What he's referring to when he said that is what had happened to John Huss 100 years earlier.
A hundred years earlier,
the emperor was Sigismund, a man named Holy Roman Emperor Sigismund.
And he tricked him.
Yeah. He did. He brought John Huss to Constance, Germany under safe conduct of the emperor. And instead of providing him that safe conduct, he immediately had him arrested, put him in the dungeon for 6 months, brought him out, gave him a kangaroo trial, and burned him at the stake in Constance, Germany. And it was the darkest black blot on his entire career as the emperor for Sigismund. Even many of the Catholics hated him. They're like, that was your word. But he listened to the Catholic hierarchy, and he did what they said. And so it had such a negative effect upon the memory of Sigismund that here it is 100 years later. And Charles V, when he's told to do that by the Catholic hierarchy, says, I will not blush like Sigismund. And so understand, if it had not been for John Huss's martyrdom 100 years earlier, Martin Luther very well may have been killed in 1521 at the very beginning of the Reformation. It shows how God has different things for different people. Huss's was clearly different than Luther's. And it's important to note that Nicholas von Amsdorff was with Luther when Frederick the Wise, the Elector of Saxony, abducted him on his way back from Worms because of safe conduct of the emperor. He was left Worms. He's on his way back to Wittenberg. Wittenberg is under the jurisdiction of the Elector Frederick the Wise. There's the emperor at the top, 7 men directly underneath him, all called electors. Frederick the Wise was the Elector of Saxony, where Wittenberg resided. He knew his duty. He was ordered, and his duty, according to the emperor, was to arrest Luther and turn him over so he could be executed as a notorious heretic. Instead, he interposed, and he feigned Luther's abduction, put him in the Wartburg Castle there in Eisenach. Nobody knew if Luther was alive or dead for a year, and Luther translated the New Testament into German at that time. And by the way, it was the first common language for all Germans. They had hundreds of dialects. This was the first time they were able to develop a unified language, and it was found in the Word of God itself. So Nicholas von Amsdorff had seen the interposition of the Lesser Magistrate with his own eyes in 1521. He knew what the duty was in 1546. And understand, Chris, just how important the interposition of Magdeburg, Germany was. If it had not been for the interposition of that one city, likely the Reformation would have just been a blip on the radar screen of human history. That's how important their interposition was. And often when the lesser authorities interpose, things can be, the evil and the tyranny can be reined in bloodlessly, but not always. And this is one of those cases where it wasn't always. There was actually a 13-month siege of Magdeburg by Charles V. Over 4,000 of his men were killed. 468 Magdeburgers were killed. But in the end, Charles V capitulated and allowed the Magdeburgers to continue to practice their Protestant faith. If it had not been for the interposition of that one city, yeah, we may have seen the Reformation annihilated way back then. This is how important the interposition of the lesser authorities are when it comes to the doctrine of the lesser magistrate.
Wow. Well, we are going to our first break right now, and when we return, we're going to focus our discussion on Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court, and the Constitution, misconceptions, myths, and lies that unnecessarily paralyze advocates for the unborn. If you have a question for Matt Trujillo, send it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Matt Trujillo right after these messages from our sponsor.
Game James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. Excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th. And I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org. That's g3min.org and click on events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnson September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org. That's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love: Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Patafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Patafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Attention all men in ministry leadership. You're all invited to my friend Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, personally selected by Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002. 631-291-7002, or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon.
And although the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon is only for men in ministry leadership, I'm sure the ladies will be thrilled to hear that the following evening, that will be Friday, the 24th of September, no, it's the 23rd of September, I believe, Dr. White will be speaking at St. John's Reformed Church in Friedensburg, Pennsylvania. And so I am hoping that men, women, and children will attend that one, which is open to the general public. And I was right the first time. It's Friday, September 23rd at 7 p.m. at the St. John's Reformed Church of Friedensburg, Pennsylvania, where the aforementioned Matt Kennitzer is the pastor, and who just hosted a conference with my guest today, Matt Trujillo. So if you want more details also on the Dr. James R. White speaking engagement at St. John's Reformed Church of Friedensburg, Pennsylvania, you can go to sjrcpa.org, sjrcpa.org. And that event is the evening after my pastor's luncheon. That will be Friday, September 23rd, 7 p.m. at St. John's Reformed Church in Friedensburg, Pennsylvania. We are now back with our guest today, Matt Trujillo, and our main theme today is Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court, and the Constitution, misconceptions, myths, and lies that unnecessarily paralyze advocates for the unborn. And a lot of us, or should I say nearly every single human being, I'm sure, in the world who is of reasonable age, has heard of Roe v. Wade, that so-called landmark decision of the United States Supreme Court in 1973, in which the Supreme Court ruled that the Constitution of the United States protects a pregnant woman's liberty to choose to have an abortion without excessive government restriction. In other words, it is alleged that this ruling gave women the freedom to murder their unborn children. And there is a lot of, as the theme of our discussion indicates, there's a lot of misconceptions, there's a lot of myths, and there's a lot of lies that perhaps even most people are swallowing. And most people on the left and the right are swallowing. So if you could, Matt, tell us about what really happened on that infamous day, January 22nd, 1973, when there was a ruling by the Supreme Court called Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, well, the Supreme Court ruled that a woman has a right to murder her own son or daughter. And they said that they had nothing direct to make that assertion, but they used the term penumbras and emanations, that this right to privacy existed in order for the woman to murder her own son or daughter. And when you look up penumbra and emanations, yeah, that's exactly what they did. They created this so-called right to privacy to murder one's own son or daughter out of thin air. They had no judicial precedent for it. They had no moral precedent for it. They had no historical precedent within Western civilization for accommodating that type of evil, but that's exactly what they did. And unfortunately, all of the states, all 50 of them, complied with this opinion that was issued by SCOTUS. There was not one governor, not one legislature, not one mayor, not one common council that simply said no. No one will be murdered here. They all complied. And it was actually my involvement on behalf of the preborn, Chris, that got me interested in the doctrine of the lesser magistrate and writing about the doctrine of the lesser magistrate, because I was astounded that in the face of murder, there was not any other lawful body that simply said no to the Supreme Court. They all complied. And the reason they all complied is because of this fiction called judicial supremacy. And judicial supremacy is something fomented by the Supreme Court itself. You can look at their Aaron case in 1958. They make their three assertions of the power they claim to possess, which I'll get to in a moment. And also the legislative and executive branches like this arrangement of judicial supremacy, that they have to do whatever the courts say, which is not true. But they like it because they find it a useful political tool, because then they can tell their constituents, well, I'm personally opposed to murder, or I'm personally opposed to homosexual marriage, or whatever the case may be. But the Supreme Court has ruled, and all I can do is obey. And that's a lie. And so this matter of judicial supremacy is massively important to deconstruct to the lesser authorities. We have to deconstruct it for the lesser authorities, because it's the number one thing they cite for their lack of interposition against the evil that the Supreme Court and the judiciary has imposed upon this nation. Understand, the federal judiciary and the Supreme Court have been the dispensers of immorality and injustice in this nation for decades. often what wicked men do is what they can't get through representative government, they go to the courts in order to get through raw judicial power. And so that the fiction of judicial supremacy is this. It's built on three things. Number one, it's the idea that when SCOTUS issues an opinion, that opinion is the law of the land. And that's absolutely not true. It's not a law. Their opinions are not a law. And they're certainly not the law of the land. And if you go to Article 1, Section 1, the very beginning of our U.S. Constitution, you see what I'm saying is true. Because Article 1, Section 1 of our Constitution states that all lawmaking power shall reside in Congress, which consists of a House and a Senate. Now, I was the type of guy, Chris, who would get A's in every subject except math. I would get D's, and when they brought letters into math, I never could cross that. I was like, so, but even I understand that if all lawmaking power resides with Congress, with the legislative branch, how much does that leave the judicial branch? You know, and that's right, zero. They have no lawmaking power whatsoever. And that's why when the Obergefell opinion came down, where the Supreme Court said two men or two women can marry, Justice Scalia responded in part, and everybody should read his dissenting opinion. It is a great read. He said Obergefell is, quote, a naked judicial claim to legislative, indeed super legislative power, a claim fundamentally at odds with our system of government, unquote. And in fact, there was 83 legal scholars, most of them teaching at major public universities like Emory, like University of Michigan, who 5 months after Obergefell put out a statement declaring that Obergefell is not the law of the land and calling upon the other federal government branches to check, interpose against the evil of SCOTUS, and also calling upon the states and the lesser authorities to also defy the Supreme Court. Understand, these men were putting their retirements on the line when they did this, Chris, because homo sex is like the cause celeb within the education industry. And so for them to actually make a stand was profound. And they said within their statement, you can still read it, it's still available, it's phenomenal. They said within their statement, this is the end of Western civilization. We must see the interposition of the other authorities. They must check the Supreme Court and the federal judiciary because the law, there is nothing in the Constitution that makes a pact between the people and the judiciary or all the other branches of government and the judiciary to go over the side of the cliff with one another and commit suicide. And that's what's happening with judicial supremacy.
In fact, we have to pick up right where you left off at judicial supremacy because we have to go to our midway break already. Sorry, folks, but please be patient with us because this is the longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle because they are required by the FCC to run their own public service announcements while we run our globally heard commercials. So please be patient. Send in your questions to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Attention all men in ministry leadership. You're all invited to my friend Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, personally selected by Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002. 631-291-7002, or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Luncheon.
Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church in Lyndale, Texas. and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie All in 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th. And I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnson September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org. That's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget to make your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs, solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. Whether it's for Father's Day, birthdays, wedding anniversaries, marriage celebrations, baptism celebrations, condolence gifts for someone that you know that lost a loved one, graduations, going back to school gifts, whatever the special occasion is, go to solid-ground-books.com, purchase generously and frequently, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Matt Truhella and our topic today on Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court, and the Constitution, we have just a couple more announcements to make. If you love this show, folks, and you don't want it to disappear, I'm urging you, please, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, scroll down, and click Donate Now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, you can also send in a physical check to a physical address, because there will be a physical address that also appears on your screen. And if you want to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what we believe, we would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we are also in urgent need of your advertising dollars. Please always remember that I never want anybody cutting into the regular giving that you're accustomed to your own local church where you're a member, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please, in other words, don't give your own church less money because you're giving us a financial gift. Also, please do not put your family in further financial jeopardy if you are really struggling to survive. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for church and family, and providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God in Scripture. But if you love the show, you look forward to it every day, you don't want it to disappear, and you do have extra money above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and family, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you have extra money for recreational and frivolous purposes, well then please share some of that money with us, if indeed you don't want us to disappear. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com and scroll down to Donate Now, and click that button and donate instantly. And also, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, doctrinally solid, theologically sound church, no matter where you live, like Mercy Seat Christian Church in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin area, or St. John's Reformed Church in Friedensburg, Pennsylvania, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have extensive lists spanning the globe, and I may be able to help you find a church nearby where you live, as I have already done with many people all over the planet Earth in our audience. So if you're in that circumstance where you don't have a biblically faithful church home, or you know somebody in that circumstance, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Matt Kennitzer. I'm sorry, Matt Truhella. Too many Matts on the show. Matt Truhella, who is our guest today, and we're discussing Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court, and the Constitution, misconceptions, myths, and lies that unnecessarily paralyze advocates for the unborn. You were just saying before the break that most people, perhaps, in this country, and perhaps even globally as they observe what's going on in our country, have believed the lie that the Supreme Court establishes law that must be obeyed by citizens of all 50 states. And if you want to pick up where you left off there.
Absolutely. Yeah, so that's the first part of the matter of judicial supremacy. The first fiction is that their opinions are the law of the land. They are not. And the second part of the fiction is that SCOTUS is the final arbiter of what is constitutional and what is unconstitutional. And that is simply not true either. They base this idea, Chris, upon the notion that the Supremacy Clause, which is Article 6, Paragraph 2 of the Constitution, every lawyer will tell you, that's the Supremacy Clause that gives the Supreme Court the authority to be the final arbiter of all constitutional questions. But when you go to Article 6, Paragraph 2, you'll notice that that's not the case. In fact, you'll notice the Supreme Court isn't even mentioned in that paragraph. You'll notice that the federal judiciary is not mentioned there, and you'll notice that what actually has the supremacy is the Constitution itself. And the very next paragraph after that is about the oath that every magistrate from a policeman to the president takes, which is to uphold the Constitution. They don't take an oath of subservience to the federal government. They certainly don't take an oath to uphold unjust and immoral court opinions by SCOTUS. They take an oath to uphold the Constitution, a document that was written in such a way that anyone can understand. In the few areas where there may be some question, you can go to the minutes of the Constitutional Convention and see exactly what they had in mind. You don't need experts called lawyers or Supreme Court justices to tell you what it says, because they've been busy redefining what the Constitution says for over 200 years now. So this is an important matter that SCOTUS was not given supremacy. In fact, Thomas Jefferson, who spent the last 23 years of his life at war with the Supreme Court and the federal judiciary, he was writing to a judicial supremacist of his day, and he wrote and said, "You seem to consider the judges as the ultimate arbiters of all constitutional questions, a very dangerous doctrine indeed, and one which would place us under the despotism of an oligarchy." So early on, Jefferson saw exactly what the Supreme Court was doing, that in their opinions, they were writing powers for themselves and powers for the federal government not granted to them in the Constitution itself. In fact, it only took 6 years after the ink had dried for them to do that the first time. And the legislative branch responded by passing the 11th Amendment to the Constitution. Crazy enough, 26 years later, the Supreme Court trampled the 11th Amendment of the Constitution. In fact, there's 24 cases in the first 35 years of the Supreme Court's existence where they wrote powers for themselves or for the federal government not granted to them in the Constitution itself. So Jefferson spent his last 23 years at war with them against this idea of judicial supremacy. And he said this, he said, "The Constitution has erected no such single tribunal, knowing that to whatever hands confided with the corruptions of time and party, its members would become despots." And that's exactly what the Supreme Court has become. They become an oligarchy of despots. Our founders did not throw off a monarchy to replace it with an oligarchy. They had a biblical view of the nature of man, that he's wicked and in need of a savior, namely Jesus Christ. Therefore, they didn't want power to reside in one man or a small group of men. And that's why they pillared for us a federalism within our civil government. And in the federalism, you have multiple levels of government, multiple branches at each level, so that if any one branch or branches begins to play the tyrant, another branch or branches will check that branch. They will interpose against the evil that they are doing. And so that's what our founders expected. They expected this tension to be there between the various branches of government so that if anyone went off course, they would be checked by another branch. They wanted no final arbiter at all. And that's why Jefferson said the Constitution has erected no such single tribunal, because there is no final arbiter. James Madison, who is the architect of the U.S. Constitution, he said, on the subject of an arbiter or umpire, there can be none external to the U.S. federal government more than the individual states. So there is no final arbiter. And the third great part of their fiction regarding judicial supremacy, the first being that opinions issued by SCOTUS are the law of the land, wrong. SCOTUS, number two, SCOTUS is the final arbiter of all constitutional questions, wrong. Number three is all other authorities in the nation must bow down to whatever SCOTUS issues. Absolutely not true. They took an oath to uphold the Constitution, and when any branch, including the federal judiciary, impugns the Constitution, begins to play the tyrant, it is the duty of the other branches to check that branch, not use them as a political expediency for their own designs and desires, where they get to say, well, I'm against that, but the Supreme Court has ruled, all I can do is obey. And that's what's been going on for regarding the pre-born for nearly half a century now, for nearly 50 years. And it's not just parroted by every school, every lawyer, every politician. It's been the pro-life, pro-family groups, the ones who claim to be for the preborn, who have said the only way we can undo Roe is by going to the tyrants themselves, the Supreme Court, and asking them, will you please undo Roe? And Roe has been up before the Supreme Court itself 38 times before this. Roe was upheld every time, 38 times. That's not counting the hundreds of times bills were passed on behalf of the preborn and then shot down by the federal judiciary, never making it to the Supreme Court itself. Understand that when Roe v. Wade was decided, 6 of the 9 justices were Republican appointed. And for the next 35 years after that, the Republican-appointed justices outnumbered the Democrat-appointed justices either 7-2 or 8-1. And every 4 years, the Republicans stampede the Christians and the conservatives to vote for their presidential candidate because they get to appoint the Supreme Court justices. We've had countless numbers of Republican presidents replace Supreme Court justices, and yet we still have this murder going on. So understand the duty of the lesser authorities, again, is interposition. There should have been the states right at the beginning in 1973 or any time up till now that should have simply said, no, no one's going to be murdered here. Instead, they blithely complied with the whole thing. And to a Supreme Court that has acted lawlessly and impugned the law of God, God's law says you shall not murder. They're saying, oh, it's okay to murder, and everybody's gone along with this. So anyway, that's what should have happened. That isn't what happened. And now here we are with another case before the Supreme Court, and according to a leak, you know, they're going to undo it at this time, and they say right within the leak, if you read it, it's actually a pretty good opinion. We don't know if that's going to be the actual opinion that comes out as public, but the one that was leaked had a lot of good stuff in it. It even had stuff that they seem to learn from Roy Moore in the Alabama Supreme Court, which has written extensively on this matter of interposition in the past. But what bothers me, Chris, is that they say within it that we believe it's time to give the abortion matter back to the states. That is just hubris. That's just wrong. It never left the states. It never left the representatives, as they put it, the representatives in the states. It never left their hands. Their duty, the duty of governors from the beginning, was to say no. Understand, there is no policing power for the Supreme Court, in their opinion. The only way anything they rule on has any authority in a state is because the executive of the state, the governor, goes along with it. And instead of, like, I live in Wisconsin, we still have the law on our books, pre-Roe v. Wade, which outlaws baby murder here, and not one governor ever simply did his duty and upheld the law and statutes of our state and defied the Supreme Court over this matter and protected the preborn. Instead, they went along with it. Even when Obergefell came down, homosexual marriage, we had, you know, the great conservative Scott Walker was in office at the time. He couldn't run to a microphone fast enough after the Obergefell opinion to tell all of us here in Wisconsin that same-sex marriage is now the law of the land in Wisconsin. His duty was to uphold our state constitution, which has an amendment in it stating that marriage shall always only be between a man and a woman. His duty was to uphold the laws of our state, which make clear that marriage is only between a man and a woman. But instead, he ran and supported the Supreme Court, not doing the duty that he's sworn to do regarding his office.
And so obviously your description of him was sarcastic.
Yeah. Yeah, he, you know, and we've seen this over the years. So many, you know, pay lip service to what is right, but then the reality, unfortunately, of what they do is far different than what they say. And I think it's important, too, Chris, to understand just how arrogant the judiciary is. So, you know, we have a biblical view of the nature of man as Christian people. He's wicked. And so you don't give any human institution unlimited, unchecked power. Why? Because it'll corrupt itself. And that's exactly what the Supreme Court has done. And I like to point out, you know, to people, you have to understand when the founding of our nation took place, the Supreme Court was viewed as the weakest. The judiciary was viewed as the weakest branch of the three branches, the executive, the legislative, and the judicial. You know, the Supreme Court met in the basement of the Capitol building, and all of the founders wrote about this, that they were the weakest, the least dangerous, that they were the least to annoy the rights of the established in the Constitution. Alexander Hamilton, for example, he said the judiciary, from the nature of its functions, will always be the least dangerous to the political rights of the Constitution because it will be least in the capacity to annoy or injure them. And what he was referring to when he wrote that, Chris, was the fact that they have no policing power, that the states would have to say, okay, we're going to go along with it. The governors, the executive branch, would have to uphold it in their state. And so all they have to do is say no. That isn't going to happen. Nobody's being murdered here when it comes to abortion in our state. So notice he says that they're the least dangerous branch of government. And then the architect of the U.S. Constitution, James Madison, said this. He said the judiciary is beyond comparison the weakest of the three departments of power. He went on to say in Republican government, the legislative authority necessarily predominates. So you're getting this theme. They're the least dangerous. They're the weakest. Thomas Jefferson said of them, he said at the establishment of our constitutions, the judiciary bodies were supposed to be the most helpless and harmless members of the government. Experience, however, soon showed in what way they would become the most dangerous. He said that in 1823, and what he was referring to was the fact that he saw that they were using their published opinions to write powers for themselves not granted to them in the Constitution. My point is, the judiciary is viewed as the weakest, the most harmless, the least dangerous, the most helpless, and that's all been turned on its head now, where now all other branches of government, because that's the third great part of the fiction, of judicial supremacy is that all other branches of government must bow down to whatever SCOTUS says. That was not what was intended by our founders. And because we've given them this kind of power, they've corrupted themselves. Their hubris is through the roof. And it's been going on for a long time. I love this quote from 1907. This is by Justice Charles Evan Hughes, Supreme Court Justice. He said this: "We are under a constitution, but the constitution is what the Supreme Court says it is." And then in 1936, Harlan Stone, who was appointed by a Republican and then made the Chief Justice by a Democrat, because this is a problem that, you know, it's not Republican versus Democrat. It's a problem in both parties, this idea that the Supreme Court is the final arbiter and everyone else must obey. Harlan Stone says this: "The only check upon our own exercise of power is our own self-restraint." Think of the arrogance of that. And then I have this quote from Justice Richard Posner. And understand, I could give literally dozens of quotes that I've...
And those two quotes were not said as something that they were dismayed over. They were proud of these things, correct?
They were proud of these things. They were saying just what it is, and including this one from Justice Richard Posner. He just retired from the federal bench in 2017. He was put on the bench in 1982 by Ronald Reagan. And in a speech given in 2015, he said this. He said, quote, "It's funny to talk about the oath judges take to uphold the Constitution since the Supreme Court has transformed the Constitution in its decisions. The oath is not really to the original Constitution or to the Constitution as amended. It is to some body of law created by the Supreme Court. You can forget about the oath. That is not of significance," unquote. He wasn't saying that to chide this. He was applauding this. This is the arrogance that they have. They know they have unchecked power, and they really think they can do whatever they want, including changing the meaning of the Constitution itself. So it's important to point out to your authorities, your lesser authorities, that they took an oath to uphold the Constitution. They didn't take an oath to uphold unjust or immoral Supreme Court opinions. And so their duty in the sight of Christ and to their constituents is to interpose against the evil that the Supreme Court has done. I'm telling you, Chris, I have talked to scores of magistrates of various stripes about this matter. I tell them all, everywhere I go, the judiciary must be defied. I go through this simple thing like I'm sharing with you right now. They all agree. They all get it. Some of them are a little pumped up, like, wow, I had no idea. But here's what I found. Once you take this away from them, you know, the hiding behind judicial supremacy for not acting in interposition, you really then come up against the grander problem, the bigger problem, and that's this. It's cowardice. It's a lack of courage. They won't do what's right. And that's why within the doctrine of the lesser magistrate, the people play a major role. And they must prod their magistrates to do their duty and interpose against the evil. And they must assure them, of course, that they will stand with them four square if they do their duty and stand against the evil.
Well, do their duty and stand against evil. We're going to have to pick up where we left off, and we have a line of listeners waiting, I'm sure, anxiously to have their questions asked and answered on the air. We will get to as many of you as we can. And this is going to be a much more brief break than the former ones. If you have a question, I would urge you to send it in immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com, ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th. And I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on Events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnson September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org. That's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardenville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
All men in ministry leadership, you're all invited to my friend Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, personally selected by Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002. 631-291-7002, or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon.
And remember, folks, although the pastor's luncheon is for men only, the very next night, on Friday, September 23rd at 7 p.m., St. John's Reformed Church in Friedensburg, Pennsylvania, will feature Dr. James R. White to the general public. Men, women, and children will be welcome to that event. And for more details for the Friday night event, open to everyone, go to sjrcpa.org, sjrcpa.org. That's St. John's Reformed Church, Friedensburg, Pennsylvania. We're now back with Matt Trujillo to conclude our topic today on Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court, and the Constitution. And did you have anything to wrap up on what you were saying before the break, before we go to our listener questions?
Not really, other than there's a myth out there that when Roe goes down, that abortion will be illegal from coast to coast. I've been stunned by how many people think that way, and that's not the case at all. The fight will continue on for our preborn neighbor, simply be at the state level. The battle will be taking place at that point. So, and understand this matter of judicial supremacy also, Chris. If people don't eschew that thinking, if that isn't corrected so they see things properly and, you know, understand judicial supremacy is a lie, it is a fiction. They spent 50 years murdering the preborn through raw judicial power. We are one court opinion away from the Supreme Court telling people that the government can tell you what you're going to put in your body or what you're going to put in your children's body, including things as evil as, you know, experimental gene therapies, whatever the case may be. Yeah, this thinking needs to stop, and people need to understand the importance of a true federalism, and that all the branches matter, and that the duty of the lesser authorities is to interpose when the superior authority does evil.
Okay, we have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, New York, who wants to know, then can you briefly explain in simple language what exactly occurred after the decision was made in 1973 by the Supreme Court regarding Roe v. Wade?
Yeah, what occurred is the abortionists set up shop and began to ply their trade openly in the murder of the preborn. And the number of babies killed, because like any awful activity, you know, if you legalize it, it becomes more prevalent within the culture. And so the numbers of those being murdered by abortion grew leaps and bounds.
Now, if the Supreme Court does not establish law, why was that a change in legal policy, that decision?
Yeah. Again, it's because the politicians, those within the legislative and executive branches, like this cozy arrangement where they can hide behind the skirt of the court and simply tell their constituents, yeah, I'm against that, but the Supreme Court has ruled, else I can do obey. In other words, it lets them off the hook of doing their duty and interposing against the evil.
Okay, we have someone that we haven't heard from in a long time. He happens to be the individual that you just heard earlier voicing the ad for Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. Joe, from Athy, I'm really butchering the name of this city in Ireland, in County Kildare, Ireland. And Joe says, please forgive me if this has already been addressed. As a non-American, the politics of state versus federal law can be confusing for many of us. I hear many people online saying Roe v. Wade being overturned makes this a state issue rather than a federal issue. If that's the case, will the overturning of Roe v. Wade make any tangible difference in individual states to help eliminating the murder of the unborn?
Yes, it will. And it always has been a state issue. There was no authority ever granted to the federal government regarding this matter, and of course not by the judiciary in any means. And so it will make a difference. There will be states that are able to protect the preborn now, whereas before, any protections they offered were shot down by the federal judiciary or the Supreme Court itself. So there will be more of an opportunity. The thing people are going to see, though, Chris, is they're going to be shocked by their Republican representatives, because they'll be looking for every way they can to stab the preborn in the back regarding their. They're going to make exceptions and say, you can kill this group, you can kill this group, you can kill this group, you just can't kill these ones over here through abortion. That's going to be very common. In fact, just 3 weeks ago, Louisiana had a tremendous bill to just outlaw abortion altogether, treat it as the murder that it is, no exceptions. And that bill shouldn't even survive. The Louisiana legislature is one of the most, quote-unquote, pro-life legislatures in the nation. So I think people are going to be stunned at the duplicity of the Republican officials, and also they're going to be stunned by the behavior of their pro-life, pro-family groups, which they support. Understand there's been a push for the last 6 years for bills of abolition, which do exactly what I just said Louisiana was trying to do. Outlaws it as the murder it is, no exceptions, defy the judiciary if necessary, equity in it, within the law itself. That's been done in 14 states, and bills like that have been introduced in 14 states over the last 6 years. All of them have been killed by the Republican leadership and the pro-life, pro-family groups. The pro-choice groups haven't even had to show up at the table. So I think people are going to be stunned at how awful it really is, and I hope it causes them to dig in further for the fight, because it's going to be needed more than ever now on behalf of these little ones who can't defend themselves.
By the way, I forgot to tell Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County that you have won a copy, a free copy of the English version of the Magdeburg Confession. And so make sure you give us your full mailing address so that Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service can ship that out to you. I'm really sorry, Joe, in Ireland, that we can't ship you a copy because of the fact that you're overseas. And the shipping cost for CVBBS.com would be astronomical if they were to open up these free books and Bibles to everybody in the world. So we apologize, but this is for American listeners only. And we have Alexander in Winter Park, Florida. I wanted to ask your guest today, I heard recently... Let's see. I wanted to ask your guest today. I heard recently that Biden said he could do an executive order if Roe versus Wade is overturned. Can your guest comment on if he did that? How would it work, and how likely is that to happen?
Well, given that it's Joe Biden, anything's possible, that's for sure.
Right.
And, again, executive orders, you know, have a limited purview in how far their authority goes. Obviously, the president isn't an emperor, even though the media has tried to make them into emperors, and they may think of themselves as such. But the truth of the matter is they're not the law. And so, again, this would be the importance of the lesser authorities standing in interposition against any evil through executive order that Joe Biden would want to do in order to murder helpless preborn babies. More than ever, this doctrine of the lesser magistrate is needed in our society in so many ways. And this could proffer another instance in where it is needed. I know we have within our state a Democrat governor, even though we have a law still on the books outlawing abortion, he may very well say, I'm not going to uphold that law. That will become the duty of the other authorities then in order to check the evil that he's doing regarding not doing the duty of his office and upholding our state statute regarding that. There's interesting times ahead. As you know, things are breaking apart in this country. Lawlessness abounds. Decadence of Americans is astounding. And there's a battle underway for the souls of men. And so as Christian men, we have to engage in these matters at all levels, on a personal level, within our homes, within our churches, and also within the community at large, including the offices of the magistrates. We must engage civil government with Christian thought.
We have Ted in Moundville, Alabama, and he asks, are there any Republican politicians or jurists at either the national or state level that meet your approval?
Say that again, if you could.
Are there any Republican politicians or jurists at either the national or state level that meet your approval?
Yeah, there are. They're far and few between. So it's like what you learn is that when you get engaged with civil authorities is that things are really, really bad. And most of them will tell you what you want to hear, but they'll never do what they need to do. They're far on lip service, far short on action. And so there's very few that I have supported or will support simply because it's the same old, same old. Here is the number one boilerplate question for anyone running for any public office, and it's this. Ask them, what do you believe about judicial supremacy? Because that matters. The judiciary must be defied, and if they aren't willing to defy the judiciary, you can pass your laws or your ordinances all day long, but if you're just going to wait till some court tramples them like they've been doing for decades now, any good law or policy for the most part, you're accomplishing nothing. So the interposition of lesser authorities is needed. The judiciary must be defied. And that's why that's the number one boilerplate question. What is your view of judicial supremacy? It tells you volumes about whether you should put your time into this person or not. And it also gives you an opportunity to school them in what judicial supremacy is, the lie that it is.
By the way, we're out of time. And guess what? Everybody who sent in a question is going to get a free copy of the Magdeburg Confession, even Joe, because I'm going to pay for that shipping myself, since Joe was kind enough to record that commercial for us. So you can cheer up, Joe. We're going to mail that book to you as well. And I want to make sure that you have the website, defytyrants.com, defytyrants.com. Thank you so much for doing such a superb job, Matt. I look forward to your return to the program.
Well, thank you. It was a blessing to be with you. I loved it. God bless you.
And I want everybody to have a blessed, safe, and happy weekend and Lord's Day. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.